On today's Locked On Royals podcast, we're going to dive into the Kansas City Royals swept by the Twins and the rule changes that impact the Royals moving forward around baseball, as well as preview this weekend against the Boston Red Sox. All of this and more is coming up on today's Locked On Royals podcast on the Locked On Podcast Network. It is your team's every single day jam-packed show on this Friday morning.
You are Locked On Royals, your daily Kansas City Royals podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Are back on the Locked On Royals podcast, your teams every day. Let's get it going on today's Locked On Royals podcast. We're going to dive into the Kansas City Royals and their series against the Twins, which ends in a sweep, their weekend ahead against Boston. We're also going to talk rule changes. I think that these rule changes are pretty important for Kansas City, pretty important for the Royals, and of course, for the sport as a whole. So a lot to get to today on Locked On Royals. Thank you so much for making Locked On Royals your first listen every single morning. Every single day, we're here for you talking Royals baseball. For your second listen, go check out Locked On Chiefs, which is going to be very excited today, to say the least. After that Thursday night win to push them to 2-0 with that massive win over the Chargers in the home opener. So they'll be very fired up. We're very fired up. Go check out Locked On Chiefs for that content. And for baseball, check out Locked On MLB from the national side of these playoff chases, including the playoff chase within the AL Central, which is very, very heated right now. Let's first recap Thursday night's game. We tried to wait to post Thursday's show until after Thursday's game, which we did accomplish, but we didn't talk about Thursday's game. We got sidetracked by that Athletic article, which went and detailed just the malpractice within the Kansas City Royals system and their pitching development or lack thereof. We got sidetracked talking about that and Brad Keller and the rest of these Royals. So we didn't get to Thursday's game. So we waited for nothing. I apologize for that, but we will get to it right now. So the Royals lose 3-2 to get swept by Minnesota in Minnesota. Now, I want to say the big issue within this series has little, if nothing, to do with the scoreboard itself or with, the Royals, being swept on its surface. Getting swept, losing all three games to a team that is playing for their playoff life, right? I mean, at this point, if you drop any game you shouldn't, if you're Minnesota, you are in bad shape. And, of course, you need to gain ground if you're Minnesota to reach the postseason, to win the division, and get to where you want to go, especially for a team like Minnesota, who's kind of been in and out of that first place slot all season. You really want to get to, that end goal of the postseason. So look, they're playing for everything. You're playing for nothing in terms of wins and losses. The frustrating part of this series is not getting swept. It's not losing every single game. It's not whatever. The frustrating part is almost getting no hit by Joe Ryan and the Twins. The frustrating part is the lack of approach at the plate. Like, it just, honestly just looked like they were lost out there. Looked like they were overwhelmed out there. Looked like they just didn't know what they were doing out there. It appeared as though the Royals just were confused on how to adjust, confused on what they were looking up at there. Like, it felt like they were guest pitching. Like, have you ever played MLB the Show where you guest pitch? And if you get it right, I mean, that's a huge reward, a huge boost, not only to your attributes, but also it just tells you where the ball is going to be if you guess pitch right. If you get it wrong, though, they're supposed to penalize your player's attributes, and you just kind of look silly. And even in real baseball, if you're going to guess that, hey, he's going to give me a fastball, and he drops in there a curveball to you, you're going to be off balance. You're going to be just flailing around. And it looked like they were guessing and guessing wrong, more so than they were having an approach during this game. And that was shocking and frustrating because, you know, since the trade deadline, I mean, since we've seen this team shift to that youth movement and shift to, shift away from some of the veterans that didn't really buy into the organization any longer, since we saw the shift to focusing on player development and young, you know, hitters, I've praised them the last 2 months for their approach. I've praised them the last 2 months for their confident appearance in the box. I've talked about how, you know, some of these guys, their stats aren't matching the eye test. Like, the eye test tells you that they are right on the ball. They're seeing it well. They understand playing at a high level, and their stats just aren't matching up yet, but eventually it'll get there. This was the first real series where it felt like, look, these young guys just had no idea what they were going to do and what they were doing, and they just had no idea how to adjust and how to re-react, if that makes sense. So they're reacting to something. That's, I mean, it's obvious. They thought that they saw something about Joe Ryan, for example, leading up to the game, where they thought, you know, we'll sit off-speed or we'll sit fastball, or we're going to jump out in the count early and try to swing away early in the count, or whatever the case was that they saw, right? And whenever that was not the case, they never could react to that. So they were reacting to what they saw in the film room, but they couldn't react to what they saw in real time on the field and make that adjustment in-game. And that will come with just experience and with just, more at-bats in the big leagues. But it is frustrating whenever you see your guys get almost no hit by Joe Ryan and get shut down by Sonny Gray. And while Sonny Gray's a nice pitcher and Joe Ryan looks to be, as a 26-year-old, looks to be on the pathway to become a really good pitcher, look, these guys aren't, you know, Clayton Kershaw in his prime. Like, they shouldn't necessarily be shutting you down by any means. But that was the frustrating part. It wasn't the losses. It wasn't the scoreboard. It was just that for the first time since the deadline, really, like since before the deadline, before you went to Toronto with half your team, for the first time since then, it was really just a case of the Royals not, you know, just looking unprepared, looking overwhelmed, looking overmatched at the plate. Now, of course, they've had games where they've been shut out before. They've had games where they've lost before since the deadline. But it's never lacked this much confidence as it did in this series. And then Thursday came around, and the Royals got a little better. They got 6 hits on Thursday's game and 2 walks. Still, they're just not drawing a lot of walks at all as a unit. I mean, they had no walks in this game. The Twins had 2 walks. My apologies. 6 hits, no walks. And that's even more so to my point of they're just not drawing any walks at all. They're just not. And like, they'll draw 1 or 2 a game, and it's just not where it needs to be. So Salvador Perez got 2 hits in this one. One of them was the home run, his 21st on the season. Mike Massey had a double in this game. But other than that, it was a single from Vinny Pascantino, an additional hit by Mike Massey, and hit by Mike Leigh Taylor. That was all of your offense for the night. And right on cue, you had one of your young pitchers in Daniel Lynch go out there and, you know, give you 5 innings of 7-hit baseball and 3 runs allowed with 2 walks and 8 strikeouts with 2 home runs allowed. And again, 5 innings of 3-run baseball in a vacuum, is that terrible? No, I think that 5 innings of 3-run baseball in this day and age, whenever you're supposed to be able to score more runs than is typical in baseball, in this day and age, I think that is a solid 4-5 guy. The problem is Daniel Lynch is a first-round pick in 2018. He's a 25-year-old first-round pick. He's not supposed to be a 4-5 guy in your rotation. He's supposed to be a 1-2-3 kind of guy in your rotation. So it's fine that he can go out there and have decent outings, but that's not the level that he was supposed to be at. And you know, he pitched to contact more so in this game too. Only two walks for the entire, you know, five innings, but pitching to contact resulted in hits. Seven hits got through on Daniel Lynch, and three runs came across. But then the bullpen continued to be, you know, better these last few weeks. One inning pitch from Snyder, one hit allowed, no runs, and then Coleman comes in, two innings pitched, no hits, no runs, two strikeouts. So a really good game from Coleman and Snyder out of the bullpen to clean up for Lynch. And I will say, you know, forget about expectation level, forget about, you know, where he was drafted, forget about what you want Daniel Lynch to be and become, and you know, you were hoping for him to be, you know, 5 years ago. Forget about all that and just look at what he turned in last night. Look at what he turned in Thursday night. Three runs across five innings, and your bullpen comes in and shuts the door down, and you give up three runs the whole game. You give up three runs the entire game. That should be enough to allow your offense to pick you up and to push you to a win. In the year of our Lord 2022, if you can limit your matchup to three runs, you should win those games more often than not. And the problem is, no matter how many times the Royals limit the opponent to three runs, the offense can't pick them up. And then in days where the pitching staff gives up six, seven runs, the offense scores four or five runs, but the pitching staff failed them. They just can't quite get into a lockstep. They can't quite get into, you know, a rhythm or be on the same page with each other. Have success at the same time. But you can have success by going to Bet Online. Today's show is brought to you by Bet Online. Bet Online has you covered this year with more props, odds, and lines than ever before. Bet Online is where the game starts, folks. And folks, Bet Online has you covered this year with pro football, college football, betting needs, and sports info this season, from the latest football league developments, game matchups, news, and podcasts, including this year's open week games. BetOnline is also your continued source for all of your sports wagering information, including live betting, esports, and scores. The fastest and easiest way to bet on all of your favorite sports and events, including MLB, MMA, boxing, and golf. Head over right now to the website or even use your mobile device to learn more about the trends in action this season. BetOnline, where the game starts. Make sure you check them out today. It's this easy, folks. You type in betonline.net in your URL, go to sports, and as the sports book pops up, you can bet on anything from football, which right now the Washington Commanders are 1-point underdogs on the road against Detroit. You've heard that right. Detroit Lions are a favorite to win the game on Sunday. You can also check out baseball. The Royals tonight against Boston are 1.5 run underdogs with John Haseley on the mound against Michael Wacha. And my personal favorite, you can bet on future bets. So, Rookie of the Year. Will the 2022 AL Rookie of the Year winner be Julio Rodriguez or Adley Rutschman? Rodriguez is -3,000. Rutschman is +1,200. I think that it's going to be a runaway for Julio Rodriguez. But one conversation that is not a runaway is the AL MVP award. AL MVP of Shohei Ohtani +900 and Aaron Judge -3,000. The NL MVP award, two teammates up there, Nolan Arenado and Paul Goldschmidt. Goldschmidt the favorite at -5,000, but Arenado is at +2,500, and Freddie Freeman of the Dodgers is +3,300. So very tight races there. If you enjoy future bets, MLB specials, you can do that over there at BetOnline. Plus, you can just bet game to game, and you can bet on who makes the playoffs. Let's see, after the Twins swept the Royals, yes, they make the playoffs, is still at +900. No, is still the favorite at -1,800. So, check them out today. BetOnline, it's where the game starts. Make sure that you go and check them out. We are back on the Locked On Royals podcast, on the Locked On Podcast Network. It is your teams every single day. I am your host, Ryland Styles. You can follow me on Twitter at Ryland underscore Styles. You can follow the show on Twitter at Lockdown Royals. Email the show, lockdownroyals@gmail.com. On today's show, which of course is brought to you by Bet Online, we're diving into last night's game against the Twins. We're diving into this week's matchup with Boston and the MLB rule changes. A lot to get to. Thank you so much for making Lockdown Royals your first listen every single morning, every single day. We're here for you talking Royals baseball 5 days a week, Monday through Friday. Subscribe for free wherever you get your podcasts from, including on YouTube and Apple Podcasts, Spotify, all that good stuff. For your second listen, go check out Lockdown Chiefs, Lockdown Mizzou, Lockdown Jayhawks, Lockdown K-State, Lockdown Iowa State, Lockdown Iowa, Lockdown Sooners, Lockdown Pokes. They got you covered for college football, Lockdown Chiefs for the NFL. We have every NFL team, NBA team, MLB team, and national shows, including Lockdown MLB, which has you covered for the playoff chases. So that, you know, that's really all I have to say about the Twin series. It was frustrating because you never really got that stellar performance from a young pitcher. Your offense never really got going. The most that they scored in a game was 3 runs. The most amount of hits that they compiled in a game this series was 6. They almost got no hit, conveniently enough, or coincidentally enough, I should say, was the game that they scored their most amount of runs was the game that they almost got no hit in. they just compiled 3 runs in the 9th. But still, it's a frustrating series, but the Royals have another chance to go back out there with young guys Friday, Saturday, and Sunday against Boston. Friday, they'll take on Boston tonight at 6:10 p.m. It'll be Michael Walker and John Haseley. Haseley is an interesting case, right? Because for Haseley, he started out the season so good, his first few starts. Then he had an injury. He got hurt. And since then, he's been relatively bad. Let's just call it what it is. The confusion comes with, okay, is his statistics and is his play on the field trending downward due to the league figuring him out, due to that hot start being a flash in the pan, or is it due to injury? Is it due to the fact that he's not 100% healthy? Because once you get hurt, it's hard to ever get back healthy within that same season. You can go on the IL, you can rest all you want to, but until you get a prolonged period of rest, you're never going to come back 100% healthy again in the season. So that's a question that we can't really answer until next year, but a few good starts here down the stretch would go a long way for setting the tempo or tone in the offseason around John Haseley. So Haseley takes on Michael Walker at 6:10 on Friday. On Saturday, this is the one I can't wait for. Saturday, 3:10 p.m., Brady Singer back on the mound. He's a 3.21 ERA, but if you look at it through, or since, I should say, not through, if you look at it since July 1st, that year he's sub 2. He's been incredible, Brady Singer has, since July 1st and even since June 1st, but let's just stick with July. He's been incredible. Going up against Rich Hale of Boston. And then Sunday, Chris Bubich has another chance against Nick Pivetta. And the reason that these games are so important, so to say, especially for these young pitchers, is we are sitting right now on Friday, September 16th. Next week, the Royals play a game on Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. And then they have another Monday off. Then they play again on the 27th, 28th, 29th, 30th. Then the 1st, the 2nd. And then they have a Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday slate to close out the season. So if you do the math in your head, you've got 1, 2, or 3 starts, depending on which day you're going to start this weekend, left in the season. So this is the lasting impression that you're going to leave. And it sounds silly, but we do it every year, right? Every year. Think about how many years in these past few years. I'll give you the answer. It's the last 3 years. The last 3 years, the Royals in September on fire. Their record after August 2nd through the end of the year was above 500. And Mondesi was hitting 400 after August 2nd. And Chris Bubich has a sub-2 ERA. Brad Keller has a 1.95 ERA after August 2nd through the end of the year. Carlos Hernandez last year was fantastic, you know, et cetera, et cetera. We do this every year. If you end the season strong, it gives you that kind of oomph heading into the offseason. So this is the last few chances to make that kind of lasting impression. Can you do enough to, you know, change the mind of a Dayton Moore or Sherman to whenever they're evaluating what they want to do in the offseason, who they want to move, who they want to keep, what positions they need to address? Can you do enough to kind of solidify your spot? And I think that you're looking mostly at these young pitchers. So we'll see how they do. I'm very interested in that. But let's also talk about these rule changes. So we are back on the Lockdown Royals podcast, on the Lockdown Podcast Network, your teams every day. And let's talk rule changes. Let's talk about the Royals and how they're impacted by these rule changes. So if you didn't know, baseball is implementing a lot of new rules. The first and foremost being that, you know, they've kind of banned the shift. We got to stay on, you know, the same, you know, the different sides of second base. So the exclusion of the shift, I think, will help baseball as a whole, all the way around. I'm in favor of this move. One that I think impacts Kansas City in a big way is the limiting number of pickoff attempts and expanding the size of the bases. To me, I say that goes, you know, in favor of Kansas City, because typically when the Royals do want to build winners, when the Royals do want to build contending rosters, when the Royals do want to, you know, have this team visualized in their image, they want to play great defense. They want to play very fast. They want to steal bases. They want to go station to station. They want to do that kind of style of baseball. They have the fastest player in baseball in Bobby Witt Jr. They have Alberto Mondesi, who, of course, is a speedster as well if he's ever going to get healthy. Nicky Lopez can swipe some bags. You know, the lacking number of pickoff attempts to where, you know, if you try to pick off and you fail on, like, the third attempt, I believe it is, or fourth, it'll be a balk. Like, that allows you to time your jumps a lot better from first, and that allows guys like Bobby Witt Jr. to almost, you know, take whatever bag he wants to, kind of, you know, hopefully. That's the way you're envisioning it. Obviously, bigger bases also allows you to probably steal more bases than is typical. I'm interested to see the study on this after the minor league season's over with, kind of how it impacted minor league baseball and if that is true or not of minor league baseball. But allowing the base runner to have that kind of edge, to me, benefits Kansas City more than so a team that's built on nine sluggers who just can't really move and just are praying that they get the ball over the fence. So I think that this is going to be a big help to Kansas City. I think that, of course, defensive shift will help every team, because every team has their guys who can't beat the shift or who has bad luck and bad timing on where they hit the ball, and if they would have hit it somewhere else, or if they would have hit it an inch further this way, it would have been a base hit. But since there's a shift, you know, it wasn't a base hit, et cetera, et cetera. But nonetheless, my biggest thing for Kansas City is the bigger bags and the lack of pickoff attempts. And I think that those will impact Kansas City more than most teams, because the Royals don't build their lineup of nine sluggers who can't move. Typically, they like to build their lineup of guys who can slap the ball around and steal bases and can collectively, you know, scratch together runs. Now, I do encourage you to go check out Locked On MLB and to go listen to Paul Francis Sullivan, but you can call him just Sully, on these rule changes. He did an episode earlier this week with Miller Thomas. And I think that it was very interesting as an episode, because you had Paul Francis Sullivan, who's been digesting baseball for, I don't want to date him, but I believe it was 50-something years, right? And you had Miller Thomas, who's like me, you know, 20-something-year-old guy that, you know, is kind of has that different perspective. So getting the historical context behind these rule changes and what all these rule changes mean and how impactful it is to change these rules for baseball, a sport that doesn't really evolve that much, but also having the new school thought process, I think was a really good episode. But check out Locked On MLB for all of your national perspective on baseball. Plus, stick around, because they're going to be covering these playoff chases, like the Central, which is separated by 3-4 games between the White Sox and the and the Twins, and my favorite, the NL East, the Mets, the Braves. Who's going to win it? Who's going to go back and forth? Check them out over there, Locked On MLB. We're here, Locked On Royals, 5 days a week. We've got Monday through Friday in the books. Check out Locked On Chiefs to recap last night's thrilling win over the Chargers. And until Monday, be good and be good to one another.